Well, Len, we've had a little bit of a change up here in the weather pattern the last couple of days. It's kept golfers off the golf course. In fact, we had the opening day of baseball at Wrigley Field yesterday, and over 10,000 fans were allowed into the game to come out and sit in sunny but only 33, 34 degree temperatures down near the lakefront. But pretty much a cold day the last couple of days. And the golf courses that I passed or drove by looked pretty empty. And all I can hope is that projected 60-degree plus weather this weekend will allow people to get out and get in some golf around the Easter holiday. And hopefully, and it should be, nicer by you.
It is nicer by me, but I am in a new location now. We have shifted our base from Port St. Lucie, Florida, PGA Village, over to Sarasota, Florida, and I'm overlooking a place that we're staying here is overlooking the Meadows Golf Course, which is a place I've known about for quite a few years. Beautiful looking view we have here. I think on the weather side, though, we have had temperatures here in the 70s, low 70s, which is very nice and sunny. But I think the news on the weather side that struck me today was watching on the about the Augusta National Women's Amateur. They were bundled up with, you know, they had this. Today was the practice day. They had, they determined their final field of 30 for two rounds over at a Champions Retreat course there in Augusta. I had, which I covered the first version of that 2 years ago. They didn't play it when the Masters was played in November. But there, you know, Masters week is going to be in full swing next week. And it was a funny thing. Last year there were three players with Illinois connections in the field, and none of them survived the cut. But this year there weren't any. And they're all bundled up. They're all bundled up with stocking caps on and heavy duty clothing. So it looks like it's a little on the chilly side at Augusta now. Hopefully it'll warm up for everybody during the Masters.
Well, and this week is the Texas Valero Open on the PGA Tour, and it's nice to see that Jordan Spieth was sitting in third place in his home state of Texas there. You wonder if he's starting to play well enough to make a run next week at the Masters. But, you know, we could have some interesting golf this weekend. There's enough of a great field there, as some guys do want to play the week before the Masters and kind of get ready for that tournament, even though world number one Dustin Johnson decided it would be in his best interest to stay home and prepare out of his home location instead of going to play in the tournament, which he had originally signed up to do.
Yeah, you know, the one that really gets me in the Valero Texas Open, I was hoping that at least Ricky Fowler, who is not qualified for the Masters, this will be the first, if he misses, and he's surely going to miss it now. He has played every Masters since 2010 and has really a long time been one of the most popular players in the game. His game has really gone south. He shot 77 in the first round in the Valero Texas Open. So, you know, today's cut day, I don't know why he's going to come back from that far back. But the Valero Texas Open does have an interesting name in there, Rory, to both you and me. It's a name from our Illinois past, Carlos Sainz, former Illinois Open champion and one-year tour player in 2015. He got in the field. He's a club pro in Houston now, and they got an exemption to the Valero Texas Open by winning his section section championship in the PGA for that area. So he didn't do, he had 75 in the first round, so beat Ricky Fowler for that matter. But unlikely he'll make the cut today, but you never know. And DA Points, injury riddled for a long time now. He's in the field there. Doug Gim is giving it a try. None of them did particularly well in the first round on Thursday. They're behind the cut line at the moment going into with the second round being in progress. That tournament, I always kind of feel like it's important. I would think if it was me, I'd want to play the week before the Masters to be. I know that there's a big range in feelings about that. I mean, Phil Mickelson always liked to do it. He had a 10 on a hole on Thursday, though, and dropped out. So who knows? Who knows what's best? I guess we'll find out in a few days.
Well, over the last few days here, in spite of the colder temperatures, we've been receiving some announcements that the golf course is now open outdoors for the year. Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville, one of our great sponsors, decided to open on Wednesday. I don't know how crowded they were. It was only in the low 40s a couple days ago, and then even colder yesterday. But again, temperatures are supposed to rebound this weekend. Also, notices came out from a few places in Wisconsin, including Lawsonia Links opening up for the year yesterday. And you know, Len, you and I have enjoyed playing in that tournament, mm-hmm. that two-man scramble that they have up there, which was in the middle of summer. It got moved to the fall last year, and hopefully we'll have that opportunity to go participate in the, well, I'm going to call it the Lawsonia Open, even though they do have a different name for it. Also, received notice that the Sand Valley Resort opened for the year yesterday as well. So I'm assuming that the courses at Kohler and Erin Hills, some of the other courses that we've seen in the Dells and so forth recently, probably won't be far behind if they're not open already.
Well, I had an interesting note from Bob Malpede, a good friend of mine who manages the White Deer Run course in Vernon Hills. This is kind of an offbeat thing, but he sent me a note that he was having troubles getting range balls because a boat was stuck in the mud. I don't know if it ties in, and I don't know if he got his range balls yet, but apparently the Suez Canal got, you know, quite a problem for a lot of people by having that winds blowing that one ship with cargo over off the, it blocked the canal for quite a while, and maybe Bob must have been one of those people who got victimized by that. Anyway, it just struck me as an odd story, but since subsequent news after he sent me that note suggests that was something that touched a lot of people. I don't know if it's necessarily how golf related that is, but kind of an interesting story.
Well, you would hope that all the courses would be able to get their range balls, because that's another thing, Len. I've been getting some notices here about some upcoming fitting days. A variety of companies, Ping, Titleist, Callaway, to name a few, Wilson Golf as well, and that places like Pine Meadow and their driving range, Cog Hill, their driving range. I believe there's something coming up at Mistwood as well. But check with your local golf courses, because more often than not, you do have to sign up for an appointment in order to participate, because space is limited. But some places are having Callaway Wednesdays and Titleist Thursdays and a couple other days for Ping. And as a result, if you still want to get fitted for clubs and you want to go through a fitting process outdoors instead of doing something in a dome or on a simulator, those days are coming not only through the month of April, but some places are doing it on a certain day all the way in through like mid-May for about 4 or 5 hours a day, one day a week. So it's a great opportunity to test out new equipment and also find out how you can put better product in your golf bag.
This is a key part of the golf season for the recreational players, the ones who get out there and take advantage, play in some cold weather. I mean, nothing wrong with putting a sweatshirt on and even a stocking cap there in the Midwest. I'm spoiled here right now. I'm looking at guys out in short sleeve shirts and having a gay old time out there, but on this golf course out my window. But I always felt like, you know, the golf courses aren't as crowded in the very early spring like it is now. I think that the golf courses that are able to open are really doing a big service to the players, and that should pay off for them as the season goes on by giving them a golf course as quickly as possible to be ready to play. So I think, you know, things are going to pick up real fast in April, most everywhere around the country, and I'm looking forward to seeing how things go in the Chicago area.
Len, we have to give a couple of shout-outs to some people that we've talked to for a long time in the golf business. First of all, the Butcher family that has its roots in Chicago, but they're also the owners of the Mission Inn Resort, Howie in the Hills, Florida. If you're not familiar with Howie in the Hills, just think about 30-35 minute drive northwest of Orlando up from the Magic Kingdom. And we know that they have a Symetra tour event coming on Memorial Day weekend. As a matter of fact, there's a big media event next week, but we do want to give them a shout out because the tour is coming there. They put on a great event. There are going to be spectators allowed in. If you happen to be in that area, we do recommend you go out and enjoy the golf of these young ladies who are working very hard to try to earn their LPGA tour cards. And while you're there, enjoy some of the hospitality and the great food and beverage of the Mission Inn Resort. Always a great place to golf and stay. They've got two golf courses, nice practice facility, and you can't beat the Mission Inn.
No, you know, Mission Inn is hold a really unusual position this year nationwide in the golf thing, because they're hosting three USGA qualifiers. In addition to the Symetra Tour, they've had tour qualifying for the Canadian Tour. They've had a tour qualifier for the Latino America Tour and three USGA qualifying events. So it's a very active club. And I tell you, it's what's interesting there is that their older course, one of the oldest courses in Florida, El Campeon, is the course that all the tournaments are on, rather than the much more much newer 1992 Las Colinas, which is their alternate course. The old course remains the featured attraction. But always, it's a good place to visit. It's a good resort. We've been there probably four times in the last 10 years. Are nice people, and I think visitors out there would enjoy it.
Len, on the other side of the slate in Florida, of course, coming up in less than 30 days now, the Valspar Championship at Innisbrook Resort, and you and I and our good friend with the camera, Dave Lockhart from Golf 360, we were all there for a little media visit, and Dave's video has been put together and is now being shown, I believe, out on YouTube, possibly Facebook as well. It'll be part of a Golf 360 program, I believe, coming up this summer. But if you get an opportunity, you got to go online and check out Innisbrook Resort video by Dave. Lynx Lockhart in Golf 360.
Yeah, Lynx, he always does a great job. I saw that they got a sneak preview of this this video, and we had quite an extensive stay at that resort in advance of the Valspar. Valspar is being held about, three weeks to a month later than it usually is. And I think it's going to benefit from the from a later date. I think they're going to, it looked great when we were there. But I think that the end of April for this Valspar Championship is going to be a good one. And, you know, that's a tournament. That resort is owned, Innisbrook Resort, is owned by Sheila Johnson, who is from the Chicago area. And two of the Valspar champions, Luke Donald and Kevin Streelman, champions there in the past, are from the Chicago area. And, of course, the designer of all four courses there, Larry Packard, was a long, long time Chicago guy. So it's almost like a home game when you go over there. Innisbrook has been a great golf destination and tour site for many years, with a Chicago flavor to it.
Well, Len, I got to see a lot of great golf when I was on my month-long journey around the Southeast. And also, one of the courses we got to stop and play, and an opportunity we had, we got to catch up with Jerry Rich, the owner of Rich Harvest Farms. And Mr. Rich, very excited, of course, the Arnold Palmer Cup returning to Rich Harvest Farms this June 11, 12, and 13. Of course, when it came in 2015 for the first time, it was just the Palmer Cup. But now it's the Arnold Palmer Cup, and there will be women, ladies will be participating as part of the teams. And the teams have expanded from just the USA versus a couple of UK countries. They now will, basically, it's the rest of the world. And there's going to be some players there from the Far East and other parts of Europe, and know that Mr. Rich is welcoming as many people as they can potentially get on the property that week. Hopefully by then, local health authorities will allow maybe up to 10,000 a day, like we're going to see at some of the professional events in May. So you would hope by June that 10,000 is a good number for Rich Harvest Farms. But we do want to invite everybody to come on out and see the Palmer Cup. You know, I remember in 2015 seeing some of the players that were there at that time, and they're out on the PGA Tour right now. I sat down and was able to do a great interview outside of the cottages at Rich Harvest Farms with John Rahm. Spent about a half hour with John just talking about golf. And, you know, he's the number three player in the world right now. So if you want to come out and see some great golf, meet some guys and gals that'll probably be on the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour before too long, or maybe at least one step up to the Korn Ferry Tour or the Symetra Tour before they get to the major tours on both sides. This is a great place to see these players, and I hope a lot of people will make the drive to Rich Harvest Farms. It's a great walk around the property. There's plenty of acreage. It's scenic, and you can get out and get your exercise, get some fresh air, and watch some of the best upcoming stars in the game of golf those 3 days at Rich Harvest Farms.
Yeah, that's going to be really an exciting event. It's the first big spectator event. There is the Evan Schuyler's Invitational in May, but this is the first type of event, really a major spectator attraction, a universal attraction in the Chicago area this year. And when the season's all over, this may turn out to be the highlight of the Chicago season. It really helped a lot, I think, to bring in the women's aspect to it, and it's a much stronger event than it has been in its previous visit. Here it was good then, but I think it's going to be even better now, and certainly a great option for spectators who want to see really quality golf, quality young players, men and women, in a very popular team format. So it's something that everybody should put on their calendar for June. Really a good thing to see. I wish I could. I don't know if I can be there or not, but I'd like to be at least in spirit. It's an excellent event.
Len, the other thing is that I'm going to get back out here in the week or so ahead, hopefully this week, taking a look at the first clubhouse renovation that's expected to sort of come back online, and that is at the Preserve at Oak Meadows project that started about a year and a half ago. Had some delays for a variety of reasons, the pandemic being part of it, but they're getting close to wrapping it up over there, and I'm looking forward to catching up with my radio broadcast partner, Ed Stevenson, on taking a tour of that facility. And the other thing that I do know in regards to new clubhouses in the area, first at the Northbrook Park District at the, Sportsman's, but it's going to become Heritage Oaks Golf Club. That clubhouse has made a lot of progress and is getting close to also finishing up before too long. And then also out in Elk Grove at Fox Run, they've been back out at work there, working on that new clubhouse as well. So there's three courses here in the north, northwest suburbs that golfers will, they may not have a new golf course to play, but they can go and enjoy the day before and after their rounds in the new clubhouse facilities, which is always good to see. That 19th hole will look a little better.
Absolutely. You know, the pandemic certainly didn't slow down all the golf around. In fact, golf benefited in many ways from the pandemic. But these three places with their new clubhouses, they went to extraordinary steps. And I think that could be a very most exciting development, maybe even more so than some of the new courses, because these are, especially Oak Meadows, I mean, they needed a new clubhouse for a while. They've got a new course. And now with the new clubhouse, that's going to be for sure one of Chicago's premier facilities for public play.
Well, I like some of the other things that they've also added at the Preserve, just a few touches around the clubhouse area. There's a brand new area to check in, drop off your golf bags, and get them loaded up on the golf carts. There's a brand new starter shack there. So the whole area around the first tee is getting changed a little bit, and around the pro shop. And I think that once the clubhouse gets completed, the pro shop will move into the new clubhouse, and the little old building that's been there could be scheduled to be taken out As a result, what will happen is there's some talk about enlarging the current putting green there right behind the first tee. And I'm not sure if that's official yet, but it was something that I think they should do. You would love to get everybody in and have a chance to see the new clubhouse before they tee off. And at the same time, considering the amount of events and the type of events that they have at Oak Meadows or the preserve at Oak Meadows, they could use a little bit bigger there of a putting green, and it would be good for outings and tournaments and all sorts of things like that.
So there's going to be, you can bet, there's going to be a lot of activity at the preserve at Oak Meadows this year, with far more events because of the availability of a clubhouse. I mean, it's a great course, great clubhouse, great place. I'm looking forward to getting back there myself and having a look at all that's going on there since my last visit, which was, it had to be over a year ago simply because of the pandemic restrictions regarding travel. So before the year's out, I'm sure I'm going to be there. It's going to be fun.
Finally, final note here for our golf podcast, and yeah, it is a golf podcast, and we're not really here to talk politics, but we did have an announcement this week in that Gary Rabine, who's owns several businesses, but he is the owner of the Bull Valley Club up in far northwest suburban Woodstock, Bull Valley area, has tossed his hat into the ring to run for governor against J.B. Pritzker next year in 2022. And all I can say, Len, is considering the rough start that golf got off to last year, because our current governor and his staff really aren't golfers and didn't have much of a handle on the game and how to restart it out of the pandemic, all I can say is that maybe having a golfer in the governor's mansion at Springfield wouldn't be a bad thing for golf across the state of Illinois going forward. But anyway, I'm going to call him Gary the Golfer for governor, and who knows, maybe we will have someone that plays golf in the mansion in a couple of years from now, and I got to believe that could only benefit the sport across the entire state of Illinois to have somebody who plays the game in the governor's chair.
Yeah, I tell you, as you said, we're not there for the making a political statement, but I want to wish Gary best of luck in his campaign, and that's not against anybody else, but that's he certainly would be nice to have a golfer looking out for us there.
Well, then that wraps up Zeman Spears podcast series 2021, volume 10 for the week. And we will look forward to doing this again next week as hopefully the weather warms up and golf season starts to turn into a full swing by next week here in April. Also, it's Masters Week, and more often than not, they say Masters Week is the rite of spring, and it gets everybody thinking about golf again, and let's hope that's the case.
You betcha. I'm looking forward to it.